Nick Qureshi looks at what the palace has had to say.
Yes, this is just in from the palace. The statement says, during the King's recent hospital procedure for prostate enlargement, a separate issue of concern was noted. Subsequent diagnostic tests have identified a form of cancer. His Majesty has today commenced a schedule of regular treatments, during which time he has been advised by doctors to postpone public-facing duties. Throughout this period, His Majesty will continue to undertake state business and official paperwork as usual. The statement goes on, the King is grateful to his medical team for their swift intervention, which was made possible thanks to his recent hospital procedure. He remains wholly positive about his treatment and looks forward to returning to full public duty as soon as possible. His Majesty has chosen to share his diagnosis, the statement concludes, to prevent speculation and in the hope it may assist public understanding for all those around the world who are affected by cancer.
To other news, a 22-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of helping the suspect in the Clapham chemical attack. Police say he was detained in London early this morning and has since been released on bail. Red Bull F1 boss Christian Horner is being investigated by the team over an allegation of inappropriate behaviour, which he denies. It's understood to have come from a fellow member of staff. Rishi Sunak's rejected calls to increase funding beyond the £3.3 billion agreed for the Northern Ireland executive. He's held talks with politicians from all sides today. And a recap on this evening's breaking news. Buckingham Palace has confirmed the King has been diagnosed with a form of cancer. That's the latest. I'm Victoria Evans.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
It's Monday, 6pm. Under the Radar on Phoenix FM. Welcome to another edition of Under the Radar with me, Andy Gardner, on Phoenix FM, playing the week's new independent and alternative releases from across the globe. And a special one tonight. We've got Album of the Week from Austal, and I'm pleased to say that Annie, aka Austal, is here in the studio right now, and she's going to do two or three songs live. Very much back, so we're going to play a couple of the recorded ones as well. You'll see the difference. So we've got that coming up shortly. Also, we have new tracks in a minute coming up from Pixie. Track from the last Dinner Party debut album, Dolores Forever. Dead, Josie Beth, Brentwood's very own, Steel Corners. Loads coming up. But we are going to kick off with that new one from Pixie. And this is called The Thrill of It. We go like fun, guess who? The thrill of it.
kind of skin. Send them first to sky and the wonder why. And the lesson of
that was a Bull from York and their brand new one called Red Roofs, and that is from, going to be from a new album, which is out, I believe, next month. In the studio, we've got Annie, a.k.a. Allstall. Good evening, Annie.
Good evening.
Coming through loud and clear.
Very good.
How are you? Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And happy release week for your debut album, Red Sea.
Thank
which
you.
Is finally out. We're going to be talking about that in a minute. First of all, we first met 18 months ago at the Leon C Folk Festival. What do you remember about that day?
Oh, it was a lovely day. I remember we came from the train and it was sunny but very windy, and we played a lovely set on the acoustic stage.
No rain.
And yeah, really, really enjoyed the vibes of that festival. It was really good.
And I don't know if you remember, but you know, if you're doing a selling at a boot sale where everyone swarms around you, that was like with your merch after, do you remember?
Yeah,
you did really well with your merch, didn't you?
That was the first time I'd brought my poetry books that I'd published to any gig, so yeah, it was really nice to see that people actually wanted them.
And you're from Devon, but you've just come up from Stratford today. That's mm-hmm. where you're living now. And yeah, you've been there 3 years, I think you said, didn't you?
Yeah, I've actually been in London for over 10 years now, and living in East London for about three of those. So yeah, it's pretty local, really.
Yeah, quite easy to get here. And you're classically trained, I was reading.
Yep, I was playing piano from the age of four, and did all my classical exams and also in singing as well.
And what was the sort of music you was into when you was growing up?
Lots of rock bands, really. Basically, a lot of stuff my dad was listening to. But then also, like, singer-songwriters like Eva Cassidy, that kind of came from my mum. So, yeah, a big mix of things, actually.
And you have supported Fleet Foxes, I was reading. You've played at Glastonbury. And, of course, you work at the Roundhouse, don't you?
Yeah, that's
an amazing venue there.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, get to see a lot of cool shows there.
Yeah. So, yeah, how did you get to play Glastonbury?
I've played it a couple of times with various different bands, and then also doing some solo shows. The first time I was playing in a band with about 32 other musicians headlining the Leftfield stage, which was a pretty amazing thing to do at 19. But, yeah, it's an amazing festival. I'd love to be back soon.
Right, you're going to play two or three songs, Strip Back, and we're also going to play a couple of the tracks later from the album, which is going to sound completely different, so you get the feel of the album. So what's this first one you're going to play for us?
This first one's Company, which was the second single I released in November last year.
Yes, one of my favourites from it. Okay, take it away then. Soothe what you'd lost. That's so good.
Thank you.
That was Austell and Company, and a stripped back version from a Dead Sea album. So, Annie, you've been working on this album for 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and you've thrown absolutely everything at this. It's would it be right in saying it sounds a bit more commercial to your other stuff? Would that be the right word?
I don't know, really. I'd like to say it kind of straddles a kind of space between something quite abstract and commercial. I don't know. I feel like I don't really set out for it to kind of be in a certain environment, and obviously that's a bit interesting when you come to marketing it, but I definitely kind of feel like it fits under kind of an alternative umbrella of lots of different genres.
Yeah, so you do everything. You're obviously the singer, writer, producer,
mm-hmm.
Head of marketing,
yeah,
social media manager, roadie,
all in the day of the life of the independent artist.
Yeah. Any of that you don't like doing?
I mean, there's only so much admin one can do in a day, but, I think, like, at the end of the day, as I often advise to other independent artists that I know, you've just got to kind of do what you can, and yeah, focus on the bits that you love, because otherwise there's no point.
That's right. Now, you've worked on this album with, amongst many others, I was glad to see this, Zoe, a.k.a. Wildie, who has been a previous guest on my show. And in fact, Tinfoil Girl was my single of the year in 2022.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah,
yeah, Zoe's fantastic.
Yeah. And also working on this is Guy Massey, who's quite a big hitter. He's worked with the likes of Manic Street Preachers, Kylie Minogue. It really is a glycerin. A really impressive CV.
Yeah, no, Guy's incredible.
Yeah. How did you come to work with him?
I actually met him at a gig. I was supporting an artist called Ajimal, who's recently renamed as Mez and Me, a lovely guy called Fran, and he was working with Guy, and I was supporting Fran at a gig in North London, and Guy was there, and we got chatting after the show, and he kind of expressed interest in working with me, and it didn't really kind of happen for a couple of years. I mean, had a big old pandemic in the middle of all of that, but... yeah, then we got to working together, and I mean, yeah, he's obviously a complete inspiration, but also, yeah, I don't know, just I learned a lot from being in the studio with him, and he's just a lovely, lovely bloke as well.
I'm going to play a track from it now. Now, the listeners will notice the big difference between the recorded version and the ones you're doing in the studio. So this one is Knife and the Scar. What can you tell us about this one?
This kind of went through a few different versions before I kind of found the right production space for it. It was a bit dancier to begin with, and I felt I wanted to kind of take it to a more indie space. Recorded the drums with my brother Louis in Brighton at Small Pond Studios. And yeah, I think theme-wise, it's kind of quite self-explanatory. It's about kind of recognising it's time to move away from someone who's not very good for you.
And Louis's in your band, is he?
He is, yeah. Oh. He's been my drummer from day one.
Great, okay. let's hear this one. This is Austal and Knife and the Scar.
You're closing your eyes because the light is too bright, and then claim you're afraid of the dark. You can try all you like, but you don't come across as the fighter you think that you are. And I cannot keep up with the games that you play, all the moves that you make in my sleep. Did it ever occur to you once that I might be the county you wanted to keep? It's a high road and a lonely path when you can't see the truth from the knife and the scar. It's a home for his heart. I wasted the months crossing over the years. I was calling your name from afar. You were free, I was choking myself in the summer. The heat, it was burning me up. And the wounds of a stranger consumed my emotion. You filled every space in my head. From the ropes that you tied, I just needed some time to reflect.
Austal and Knife and the Scar from the debut album Dead Sea. And yeah, that's currently my favourite one at the moment, Annie.
Oh, thank you.
I love that one. Now, the reviews of the album, I've seen haunting, moody, cinematic, I'm going to throw in there as well.
Oh, nice.
I think someone said that it was like, when they listened to the album, because it's 45 minutes long, it was like being in a cinema. Did you see that one?
I did.
Yeah, I get where he's coming from with that, yeah. So you're going to do another track from it now, stripped-back mm-hmm. version of Beds of Stone?
Yeah, that's
okay,
the
one. Take it away.
Lock yourself in a cave. Pull the stone across the hole you made. So you no longer hear the sea. Never-ending waves that crash against the door. You're not out there anymore. You're hiding away. Is it lonely? You must be lonely. We are so cold in our beds of stone. Drift apart in the clouds. You try to hold them, but air opens out. Never-ending space that's howling at my door. I'm not out there anymore. I'm hiding away. Is it lonely? You must be lonely.
Thanks so much, Annie. That was Austal live in the studio and Beds of Stone. That was a, was it the first single?
Yeah, yeah.
Very good. So there's going to be another track coming shortly. I know you need to tune. But before that, your album release date, you did share it with a certain album by the last dinner party.
I know. Talk about timing.
Yeah. Where do you stand with it? Because I know some people have said, you know, they've just come from nowhere and they're just everywhere. And where do you
stand? I mean, yeah, I don't really like dissing any other women in music. No. I think it's hard enough out here. So I think, you know, it's brilliant to see more recognition for all female or non-binary bands. I don't know enough about like their backstory really to make any kind of judgment. I think, you know, it would be lovely if that kind of attention from the industry was more widely spread.
Yeah.
But I also think it's great that they're doing what they're doing, so that's kind of where I stand on.
Yeah, we're going to hear a track from it in a moment. I actually saw them on Saturday night. They did one of those Rough Trade in the stores. Very nice people, yeah. And I did see them last summer at Latitude, but I didn't really get into it because I didn't know the songs then. I think they just had the one single out, which everyone was there waiting for them to play. But now I've heard the album. Yes, yeah, it's a good album. I'll see what you think of this one. This is from the debut album. This is called Burn Alive. Yeah, The Last Dinner Party and Burn Alive. It's from their debut album, Prelude to Ecstasy, which is going to be number one on Friday. No doubts about that. What did you think of that, Annie?
No, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I was saying she's got some like Florence Welch-ness about her voice.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah. Right, we're going to have another track from you, and then we're going to have a little chat about the artwork, because it's just sensational, isn't it, the artwork? So you're going to do the title track, Dead Sea, now.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away.
Dead Sea. Feel like I'm floating. All I can taste is salt on your skin. Lover, turn me to shadow, chemical climate, eroded the limb. You've drawn all my love out of me.
Great version.
Thank you.
Love that. That was the title track, stripped back version of Dead Sea, the title track from the debut album. Thanks for playing all those songs for us, Annie.
Thanks so much for having me.
And stick around. We're going to ask you about the artwork next. It's by Natalia Giraldo. She's from Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it you found her online.
Yeah, on Instagram.
Yeah. There's not a lot about her online, actually. I did see a head wrapped with a snake, which I quite like that. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
So tell us about the story of that.
So Basically, from the beginning, there's a kind of running metaphor through the record about salt and its capacity to be both painful and healing at the same time, hence the name Dead Sea. Dead Sea is a really barren, it's the deepest hypersaline lake in the world. It's really barren, no life there, but there's such a history of it being a site of healing and recovery. So I kind of loved that message. And I really wanted to work with an artist who made sculptures out of salt. And I literally searched salt art on Instagram and came across Natalia's page and absolutely loved her sculptures and also the kind of work that she does with imagery, with salt and ink. I think it's really beautiful and her photography as well. So she's an amazing kind of multidisciplinary artist. And I sent her a message with a few of the songs just saying, you know, how much I loved her work and if she'd be interested in collaborating. And she actually replied pretty quickly. It also expressing that she really liked my songs and that we kind of had some clear shared themes in our work. And so, yeah, she's done all of the artwork for all of the singles, for Beds of Stone and for Company and Cut Me Down. And then she, for the album artwork, I sent her a cast of my head.
Yeah, so, through the post.
Through the post to Colombia. Yeah, took forever.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, so what do you put on the customs form?
I literally put salt, no, it was a gesso, which is like the kind of stuff that you put when you break your arm, plaster of Paris kind of thing, head sculpture. So yeah, the customs must have thought, what on earth is this?
Yeah. And I bet you was worried about it getting there, didn't you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Natalia reassured me that it was very strong stuff, so yeah, I just wrapped it in about 10 layers of bubble wrap and hoped for the best. But then she made this incredible sculpture, which I just think is absolutely beautiful. And she kind of displays them in these glass cubes. So she photographed that and we've used it for the artwork.
Yeah, and it is amazing. You must check that out. You've got a copy here, which I'm going to have a look at. I'm so glad you have done a physical version because the sleeve is just too good to be on a screen, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It should be a physical thing.
We've made
hold.
Some CDs. I'm definitely hoping to do some vinyl later in the year as well.
Yeah, that would be great. But so you can get your CDs from your Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
What was the people looking at? Ostel.
Ostel.bandcamp.com,
yeah,
I think.
They'll find you. Yep.
We've also got some t-shirts and tote bags and stuff.
And your poetry book, of course.
Of course. Yeah, there's only about 5 copies of that left.
Oh, wow.
So if people want that, they get that quick.
And you're playing some shows. You're playing a little mini tour for the album. You're doing Brighton, Cardiff, Bristol. And one I'm going to, which is on March the 7th.
9th. Yeah.
Oh, March the 9th. Sorry. Thanks for correcting me. And that's at the Finsbury. Good venue. You're going to be with your 7-piece band for that one.
Yeah.
Which is good because it is a big stage there.
Yeah. Well, even then, I'm not sure how we're all going to fit, but we'll make it work.
Yeah. Good venue. It's, if you want to go, it's not actually Finsbury Park. I think it's Manor House, isn't it?
That's the nearest
tube station. Yeah. But yeah, good venue. So that is March the 9th. I'm glad it's not the 8th because I wouldn't have been able to make the 8th. So glad it's the 9th. And it is free admission, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to get a ticket on Dice, I believe.
The reservations are going quickly as well. So
right. Okay.
Yeah, please get on that.
Yeah, and now we're going to hear another track from the recorded album, and this is Salt, which is another single. Tell us about this one, Annie.
So this was completely self-produced and then mixed with my friend Jess Camilleri, who's a brilliant engineer. And I think it's probably the most kind of old school Ostel track in terms of like it's a lot more electronic. And yeah, I loved it actually. It was probably the last one that I made for the album, but it seemed to carry a lot of the same sentiment, so yeah, had to be on there.
Okay, so this is Ostel Salt. I have played this on the show before, but here we go.
Oh,
That was the recorded version of Salt by Oosterhoof here in the studio. Love that one too, Annie.
Thank you.
That was the last single, which came out a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I played that before. Dead Sea, the album, available now as a download. Also, a CD from your Bandcamp. Also, there's that London show on March the 9th at the Finsbury London, which is Manor House Tube. Free tickets you need to book in advance. So that leaves us to do the socials. Where can people find you, Annie?
So I'm Austel Music, A-U-S-T-E-L Music, on all platforms. Tried to be on everything.
So. Are you on TikTok as well, are you?
I am, unfortunately.
Wow.
I think, you've got to try and make TikTok your own.
But. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for coming in. I know you stick around. You're going to do a little, some reviews of some of our local artists.
Sure.
So first up, we have Brentwood's very own Josie Best. She's doing really well. She's, she's been in the studio before, and she went to Nottingham University where she wrote this song, actually. And been gaining a lot of followers there. She's been playing gigs all over. She's ported, is it Landy Hecht? Do you know Landy Hecht? She used to be in Muncie Girls. So she's got a few good support slots in London as well. But this is her new one, which came out on Wednesday. It's called How Do You Tell Your Mother?
How'd you tell your mother that you hurt your lover, that you left her alone in a crowded room? How'd you tell your mother, 'cause it ended way too soon? How'd you tell your mother that under the covers you'd do the things you should never do? How'd you tell your mother that you've broken all the rules? I'm so tired 'cause I'm the only one who sees the bad part of you. And everybody in your eyes thinks the stars are shining for you. Did you tell your mother that it's all my fault, or did you mention how you never called in summer? It's like we never even felt for each other. I'm so tired 'cause I'm the only one who sees the bad part of you. I'm so tired, my words mean nothing when you say. Life
but my friends, they only know the half. What I don't understand is how I like you're the kind of man who thinks he's got the world in his hands. How'd you tell your mother you're flies? How'd you tell your mother you're that you hurt your lover, that you left her alone in a crowded room? How'd you tell your mother, 'cause it ended way too soon?
So that's Brentwood's brightest hope, I tell you, Josie Beth. And how do you tell your mother? Do you like that, Danny?
I did really like that, yeah. It kind of had a Lizzie McAlpine vibe. Really nicely produced and well written.
Yes, Amy Stewart. Amy Sargent was behind that.
Oh, nice. I know Amy.
Yeah, you know Amy. Ah, good. Right, I'm going to play a track now that you know very well. This is Bill Ryder-Jones from his album. I think it's called Ekida. Is it Ekida?
Ekida.
Ekida. And is it Cheers or something?
It's Welsh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is If Tomorrow Starts Without Me.
FM.
Mm-hmm.
to me.